We'll call the City of Franklin's Plan Commission to order. Mr. Fuchs, please take the roll.
Commissioner Micklid?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Bennett?
Here.
Alderman Skronsky?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here. Please rise, join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next item on the agenda is the regular meeting of Thursday, March 8th, 2012.
Move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. The vote is five affirmative, zero negative, and one abstention. Motion passes. The item three, public hearings, business items. Item A, Victory of the Lamb, Inc., approximately 12001 West Ryan Road and 12000 West Loomis Road. Mr. Deedle, is there a public notice that needs to be written or read?
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Fuchs, do you have it?
Yes.
Mr. Fuchs.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, March 22nd, 2012 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding the application by Victory of the Lamb, Inc. for approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance zoning map to rezone certain parts of land from R8 Multiple Family Residence District and C1 Conservancy District to I1 Institutional District for the property located approximately 12001 West Ryan Road and 12000 West Loomis Road.
Okay. Mr. Deal.
A brief presentation and then the public hearing will begin and people in the audience will be able to speak. This item involves rezoning. Associated with that is a comprehensive master plan.
Does the Plan Commission have the ability of deciding whether the open or the public hearing has to be tonight, or can they delay that?
The public hearing was posted for this evening, and I believe we would have to have it tonight.
Okay.
No action has to be taken at this point. There is a time frame for action on a rezoning.
I apologize. That's actually what I was intending to say was, if they have the public hearing tonight, does the Plan Commission have to take action?
No. Oftentimes, if there are issues in the history, in the past, the Plan Commission has tabled if there were issues to work out. But there are some time frames that would have to be met. Primarily, rezoning would have to appear by April 21st at the Common Council for their decision. And the Comprehensive Master Plan has a public hearing scheduled for the April 17th Common Council meeting as well. So this item is scheduled to be on the Common Council for April 17th, and there will be a public hearing there as well.
Okay.
So again, this is a rezoning. Due to the nature of the request, this also requires an amendment of the City's Comprehensive Master Plan. This request is not consistent with the Comprehensive Master Plan pursuant to the City's rules and regulations. The plan would have to be amended to be consistent with this request. That's what the second public hearing will be for. This public hearing is just for the topic of the rezoning. Property is zoned multifamily residential right now. And for the church to be a permitted use, it would have to be rezoned to an institutional zoning category. So that's the purpose of the public hearing. We are dealing with both topics at the Plan Commission so that this could be expediently addressed by the Common Council, both issues at the Common Council meeting on April 17th. The Common Council has the final say for both of these items, the rezoning and the Comprehensive Master Plan Amendment. There are other permits and approvals that would probably be needed at some point when the church, if approved, was going to proceed. Most likely would be a site plan for the actual real approval of the building and any land disturbing activities in the parking lots, all that associated stuff. There's a possibility that there might have to be a special use depending on what activities occur inside the church. Yes, inside the church. For instance, if a school was also held inside, if a school was independent LLC, whatever, school on a church property would probably need a special use. So approvals of that nature would also be necessary at some point in the future. And again, I guess I'll keep it brief, but this is located, as the mayor, as the public hearing notice mentioned, in a triangular area bounded by Ryan Road on the north and Loomis Road on the southeast. Three separate parcels would be involved here. That's one of the approvals that would be necessary, is either to do a CSM to combine those parcels or a land combination. And the proposal would be to build a church, I believe, in two phases. And that associated activities would, of course, be a parking lot, some recreational fields. And that's pretty much it. So this public hearing is about the rezoning. Site plan issues will probably be lightly touched on by the Plan Commission, but those will be formal decisions to only occur if the rezoning is approved and after an application for a site plan is submitted. And that there will be discussion by the Plan Commission as well on the Comprehensive Master Plan event. So,
okay, I have a Plan Commission.
Yeah, it's a very large drawings. Is there someone from the applicant or Plan Commission want to take us through this? This is a fairly sizable project.
Before we have the public hearing, so that the public actually knows what we're talking about.
Mr. Fuchs, you have a presentation?
The applicant would like to come. I believe they have a presentation plan.
For the public's information, yeah. I know that, and I can never remember the name of the church that is planning on going on 76th Street.
The Victory of the Lamb would be this applicant?
No, the one that for 76th Street.
Previously approved?
Southbrook. I know that when they... I know that they came before the Common Council, I think with a concept review, if I remember correctly, and they had very detailed drawings and presentations, and my recollection is there were like several of those meetings that took place.
I believe so, and it culminated in the concept review.
Right, and I think there are at least one or two meetings before the Plan Commission regarding the proposal on the scene. There's probably, it seems like, eight meetings when the Faith Community Church. More than that. So.
Yes.
Okay. If you could please state your name and address for the record.
Chris Agger. Do you want the applicant's address or my firm's address?
Well, it's yours, so it's fine.
Okay. It's Corp Trito Architects, and we're at 790 North Milwaukee Street in Milwaukee.
Welcome.
Downtown. Thank you. I'll try to be brief. I know there's a couple of Wisconsin games tonight, so.
No one say the score is wrong.
Right, exactly.
Maybe somebody could turn the lights down.
The bottom switch to the left. Bottom to the left. Yeah.
Thank you.
This is for Victory of the Lamb Lutheran Church. They're currently in Franklin right now. They have a facility at the movie theater in town, and they have been growing pretty steadily. They've had a couple different locations in Franklin. They'd like to stay in Franklin. Most of the people that go to the church are in Franklin right now. Not all of them, but they have a lot of investment in Franklin, and that's the reason that they like to stay there. They do a lot for the community currently. They have a history of, they've asked, you know, several times different properties, and most of the properties were a little more public and didn't, you know, probably wouldn't get through Plan Commission. So they've been steered to this property, which is in the southwest portion of Franklin, very rural right now, right next to St. Martin Trail, which is right here. So this property is 15 acres, bordered by two wetlands and a conservatory. This is a pond right here on the adjoining property. Currently, they would like to have access from Ryan Road and would like a church that is to the south portion of the site. Some of the site challenges that we have 15 acres to build on, but only about 7.5 acres are actually buildable. So we have setbacks from the wetlands. I think it's a perfect site for this sort of use. They want a campus-like feel. They came to us asking for a very sustainable building, a sustainable site, and we believe we've delivered that. The site, so you can see this orange line represents the actual buildable area of the site. Access from Ryan Road again. Along the St. Martin's Trail, the church would like to build.
Human error.
Yeah. They should have brought boards, I guess.
Yeah. You know what? It's never the computer.
No, never.
Say it's just too much information.
Initial phase would be a phase one, about a little over 13,500 square feet, which would house 300 to 400 parishioners. Parking for that, you can see here, we would include bioswales in the center to handle the stormwater. And obviously, we'd want a heavy amount of landscaping for this site. It's a pristine site right now, and we'd like to keep it that way. Along any neighboring properties, we have landscaping berms. There is a soccer field that would be developed that could be used by the community. The church would like the community to use the soccer field. And then again, like I said, they would like to include site amenities for the St. Martin Trail users. Phase two would be this portion. They would expand into a 600-person space. They don't want to get too much bigger than 600. That's really what they're shooting for. So this wouldn't be this would be a small footprint, really, on a beautiful site. Parking for that phase two would move into the northern portion of the site, and main entrance would be towards the northern portion of that site. They were hoping for access to Loomis. Currently, the DOT has an access restriction on this portion. I don't know if that could be changed, but they weren't sure about that, so we have to go through a process to make that happen.
Right.
I'm sure you guys are aware, probably.
Well, they. Just so you know, they wouldn't give one to our police department, so
okay.
It's pretty tough.
Yeah, so it may not happen in this situation, which I don't think would be a problem. The church service is at 9:30, and if they grow, they might have two services, but it's on a Sunday morning, so there's not going to be a lot of traffic during the day, normally during the week. Sustainability-wise, the building would have solar panels. These are renderings of the west face of the building, mostly masonry, metal panel, and a lot of daylight allowed in the church. They want an open feel to Loomis. They really want to be able to be a beacon in Franklin. They're in a it's a good property for a gateway into the community. So, building height would not be above 24 feet, and again, total square footage would be 22,000 square feet. future uses, you know, along with the worship, maybe a Christian Child Development Center, but they would not be building a school in this location. So, you know, in closing, I think this site is really set up for something that's going to be, you know, a use that's not overpowering the site, that allows for nature walks and conservancy. I think building-wise, it's going to be an interesting building. You know, a lot of people are going to be able to see that from this. So I'll open it up to any questions that the council has.
Okay, Mr. Ritter, you sort of had Ms. Fowler?
You said that you're going to kind of make amenities for the Martin Trail. Would that include people able to park on that lot and then access the trail, or is there going to be an access point from your property to that trail so people can park there and then buy bikes there?
I'm going to have to let the owner speak on
that.
Pastor Benninger.
I think we are very open to receiving input on that. We would like to do something that is a benefit to the community, and that the trail does abut right on the northern boundary of it. So it would be a real simple thing, I think, to have a just direct access point, some picnic tables, perhaps an area for bird watchers. I heard there's a bird watching community with that conservancy area there. So I think, you know, that it would definitely be our intent to make that available to the community and probably, you know, engage some people in the community to get their feedback as to just how they would like to see that be a benefit to the community.
And the soccer field they'd like the community to use as well. So
you talk about that you're making this a sustainable building. Are you, for your, I don't know if you've gotten this far, but for the design of the parking lot and some of the rain detention on the site, are you thinking of using things like quartz pavement and some of the newer building materials that might make the site less of a stormwater issue for the city?
Absolutely. I mean, especially with the wetlands currently.
That's my primary concern, trying to get that water to go through the pavement onto the soil that it normally does now instead of washing into the wetlands.
Yeah, we would certainly
do that. That would be helpful.
We would certainly like to keep most of the water, you know, in the parking lot itself. You know, I don't want to speak too much for this is our civil engineer.
If you could, please state your name and address.
Certainly. Roger Dupler with A.E. Hobie Associates, 501 Newell Avenue in Delafield. Sustainability for the site in regards to grading and stormwater control. Chris, can you get that into that site? As Chris explained earlier, we're draining the parking lots to biospills, and those biospills are rather lengthy. We are able to take care of all the suspended solids before there's any release into the wetlands. We've also incorporated, respected the 30-foot required wetland buffer, and all storage areas are even unique and separated from that. We've also done with our soil analysis determination that it is possible to even realize pervious pavement here, that if we do get enough perk through the soil, that there is enough movement of water through the soil. The shallow water table is deep enough that we can accommodate some percolation even through the parking lot.
Yes. My concern would be the wetlands that developed on this land. Now, there has been agricultural disturbance on the land, but the wetlands have adjusted to that disturbance, and the amount of volume of water that comes off the property now, even if you use a biospill, you're still going to be increasing the volume. It's great you're using it. I'm going to applaud you for using the bioswales. But again, the concern would be the volume of water as well as those pollutants that would get there. So if there's a way, and if the perk tests work, if there's a way to keep the water detained in the area where it is now and not running off at increased volume to those wetlands, because what will happen is those hydrologic cycle of those wetlands will change, which then starts to change the vegetation, and you might end up with a wetland that's not quite the quality we have. So that's my concern.
Alderman Skronsky and Mr. Haley.
I work with the church group here for probably most 2 years looking at sites, and for what they're proposing and what they're looking at, I think the site's ideal. I realize that in the comprehensive master plan, R8 was there. To be honest with you, I don't know how R8 ever got into that section, being that far away from that.
Really?
Just if I might, some more specific information. You said you had some soil testing done. You've done borings on the site. Specifically, what are you finding? I know the site very well. I suspect you've got serious issues with proximity of groundwater to the surface elevation. So I'd be interested in knowing specifically where you found that. It's a very wet site. And the fact, the only fact reason that it's dry, if I might, is because it's been in agriculture, it probably, there's a lot to find out about in the soils, but it probably, the majority of the site was wetland and will revert that way. And in fact, I think the what you're going to find out, because basically your analysis of the wetland boundaries at this point in time were just taken from the county website. When you get a delineator on site, I think you're going to find even more. And those areas that are have been tilled that were wetland will revert and they'll still be considered wetland. So I don't think you've got anywhere near the volume of working space that you have, but I would like very much to know what you found about depths to water table and what types of soil you need to encounter.
Certainly. I'm sorry I can't answer with specifics. I'm a planner. I happen to be representing the engineering company. I'm not the actual engineer.
Sorry,
what I understand, though, is that, yes, we do have a shallow water table, but there's enough infiltration potential in the top horizons of the soil that it will take water in order to design the pervious pavement system. The church is being built without a basement. So, you know, we're not excavating there. And not only that, the church is raised about 6 to 8 feet above the natural grade out there in its existing condition. As for the reverting of that previously farmed and tilled soil, I fully anticipate that wetlands will indeed grow when we have our delineation done as soon as things really green up here. It's a little bit earlier than we had anticipated. Stuff's starting to turn green now. But we have enough flexibility in the site where that parking lot can be shifted east to west in order to accommodate the potential growth in those wetlands.
Thank you. I really would like to know more specifics. My concern is not so much with the pervious pavement. I'm a strong proponent of that, too. I think that's the least of your concerns. We've seen plenty of examples of what happens when we try to build parking lots, buildings on hydric soils. I think that's what you're dealing with here. My guess is, just in knowing the site, looking at the aerial photographs, you've probably got some significant wetlands right smack in the middle of where you're proposing to put the parking lots and your buildings. So it is a very nice site when you look at it. I think that you've got a lot more physical constraints and challenges than you're prepared for. And you're pretty well occupying the site. I mean, the known wetlands are delineated, the buffers are shown. There isn't really a lot of room to work with. And if there's a significant increase, I don't think you're going to have the room for the footprint you need. Something I'd be paying a lot of attention to. It's a very wet area. And as to connectivity to the trail, that's going to be highly problematic because the trail is flanked on all sides by wetlands. You won't be able to get to it from the site.
And we can get you the soil boring tests that we did. I looked through them precursory, and they did not raise any red flags for where we took them. Most of what we took, though, was where the building location is, to be honest. So that's one of the highest parts of the site. So it makes sense that we wouldn't necessarily hit wetlands at that point. The one that we had in the parking lot was definitely more wet than the building locations. I don't know if I should send that to Nick or...
I'd be interested in saying it, but I think you really need to pay attention to it. That's my point here. There's strong indication it may be a drain tile field, and that's the only reason it's as dry as it is. It's a very wet site.
Okay, any more questions before I open it up for public hearing? I notice we have a number of people. How many people are here for this issue? Okay. So I'm sure everyone would like to speak on it. If there's no other questions, I'm going to open this up for public hearing. And with that, are there any parties wishing to speak during the public hearing regarding this item? If you could, please come up to the microphone. Please state your name and address for the record. If you'd like to go in line, that would even be better because we might be able to speed things along. And if we can, we'll try and limit each speaker to 3 minutes so that everybody has an opportunity. And then if everyone has if given the opportunity and you'd like to speak a little bit later, we'll allow you to speak.
So. Sure. Frank Janiszewski. I'm at 12301 West Ryan Road. It's not a conservancy. It's my house. I'm the adjoining property on the other side of St. Martin's Trail. It's a, west. I'm very concerned about the entrance and exit off of Ryan Road. There's a big dip in the road from my property to that point. If you get stacked up cars coming in and out of there on any particular day, I can see a problem with traffic. I'm not against this development at all. I think it's a great fit for the area. But coming in and out off of Ryan Road, I think it's a big mistake. You guys have been at Colonia, you've been at Showtime, and that's all coming off of Loomis Road. Coming off of a two-lane road with no shoulder, I think is going to be a problem. I share the concerns about the wetlands. That trail, most of the time, is impassable. It's underwater now, particularly in the west end of that trail. That's the kind of things that I think this kind of development really needs to be addressed. But my major concern is going to be traffic on Ryan Road coming in and out. And like I said before, I'm completely for this development. I think it's a great fit for the area. I'd be a very open-armed neighbor to that, but I don't agree with coming in and out of Ryan Road. I think there's big problems with water.
You and I have talked on other issues, right?
Many.
Okay. Yes. All right. It's nice to see you in person.
Thank you. Eric Elsorowski, 11930 West Ryan Road, so I'm right across the street from where the entrance would be, which I'm saying the same thing. The entrance would be a little bit of an issue. I mean, there's a lot of, like, I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old right now that like to run around the yard. I love the idea of a soccer field. I mean, right out by my house, there's nothing here besides going into woods or something like that. My kids would love that. Just go right across the street, play inside. But the entrance, I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't allow them to go on 36. I mean, like, houses that have the driveways on, I forget, but I understand the police station, they wouldn't let you do that.
Well, the DOT, I don't know if it's changed since Mr. Buzalaki was up there, but getting easements has been very, very difficult. DOT put in place some new policies. So.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'm worried, you know, right now we're getting sewer. So, I mean, if this does, like I said, if this does come off Ryan, we're trying to get sewer down there so, you know, our road can be fixed for good and not be ripped up again. Well, next thing you know, it'll be ripped up again, widened a little bit more. I mean, it's, like, it is the corner of Franklin, but it's a perfect place to live. I mean, you're out in the middle of nowhere. So, but, yeah, I'm for the church, like, soccer field, but, yeah, if that entrance on Ryan, or I mean on 36 somewhere.
Really, as I have you there on the road, we had planned on not having to tear up the road, but we had to move the sewers. So.
Yeah. Well, that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing on this topic? Twice. One more time. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Nancy? No, I know
I'm
you.
For it.
Okay. Maybe I'll just ask that. How many are for this? Okay. How many are against?
Just the entrance.
Okay, there we go. All right. I'm going to have one last chance because this is anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing?
This subject or
on this subject. All right. Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing. Sorry to embarrass you, but you know I love to do that. So. Yes, it would. How many people here are in favor of it? If you'd please raise your hand and keep it raised. Alderman Skronsky is going to count it for me.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 40, 42.
I think I'll do a recount.
Okay. 3, 6, 9, 10, and I believe there were two against. So, okay. Okay. Yes. Just close the hearing.
Yeah, I have. Has anybody met with the DOT on this as far as access?
I have. At this point, we're not allowed us access. This is a restricted area.
Have you consulted a traffic engineer and given them some of the data that number of cars you generate? It might be worthwhile to, because it seems like there's some real concern about coming off on Loomis Road. They do have development meetings. They don't cost anything. I would suggest that if you do that, you have a firm represent you, but I'd be happy to accompany you to meet with DOT, and at least we could sit down and hammer it out. They do have a tendency where there's other access available. It's not to make access available to them. They'd rather have it. As far as DOT is concerned, they'd rather have it come off of Ryan Road, and then they go through a controlled intersection to get to State Truck Highway 36. But I'd sure be willing to help you out on that the best I could if you would like. So if you want to contact me here at City Hall. But I would suggest if you go there, you'd be represented by a traffic engineering firm. So you can give the number of vehicles generated, and also you'd really be able to guess. And it might be worthwhile to make the attempt, because you would have one heck of a long driveway out off of Ryan Road.
Well, we can be aware of if you get access to the intersection.
Yeah.
That would be helpful.
Mr. Ritter?
Just a couple of minor things for staff. Just going by what's identified as the base map here, looking at the parcel to the west here, shows a wetland area here. Looks like the only usable part of the land might be here, but there wouldn't be enough for an access point there. Now, bear in mind, this indicates that it's owned by DOT. We've got indications that DOT, at this time at least, is not anxious to grant openings onto Highway 36. And also bearing in mind Commissioner Higley's comments about just because this may not show this as wetland now, if you actually did the delineation, it might be, but just on the chance that perhaps someday in the future it might be in private ownership and somebody might want access to that, should we be thinking in terms of some sort of access agreement or easement or something like that? Because it doesn't look like there would be a way to get to the usable part of that property as is depicted here. I'm not asking for an answer right now, just something for staff to consider as they finalize the paperwork on this. Also on page 2 of the staff memo, it says additional zoning approval will be required for early childhood training center and Sunday school. Now, a daily school activity, the early childhood training center, I suppose I can understand that, but if you elaborate a little bit, I would think a Sunday school would be just kind of normal, coincidental to Sunday worship service. So is additional zoning needed for Sunday school?
For schools in general, special use would be needed.
Sunday school and school.
And I would turn to Nick and see if he's run into specifics on that.
Okay. Potentially, we erred in the staff report, erred on the side of caution in the potential future uses with SIC codes. We'd have to look specifically at that, but really, schools in general can be, so we put in there as potentially a special use, but it could be a Sunday school specifically. It would possibly be just a permitted or accessory use to the church.
I think that would be more. Well, certainly, if there was going to be a daily school operation of some sort, I think we would look for additional approval of some sort. But if it's going to be just a typical Sunday school, it's coincidental to a normal Sunday worship service and activity life. And then, not that we would probably go along with it, it's donating just a little bit of a surprise to me that would be needed. I would think that would be sort of normally coincidental to a Sunday worship activity. So, again, just points for awareness.
Mr. Fowler.
One of the things, when we do, if we amend the master plan, Joe, and remove this as an RA section, which would be taxable land.
And I should mention, And a small portion is planned for commercial. The portion fronting.
And this would be a recommendation to the common council.
Right. Recommendation to change this from residential and commercial zoning. I've been to many meetings where property taxes are the main issue in the city of Franklin. And as we continue to move taxable land off the records to something else, that concerns me. Will we be making a recommendation to the council to move other institutional lands to R8 commercial zoning to replace this? I know the master plan is a plan and not set in stone as we're showing here, but I am concerned that if we continue to move properties to institutional that are taxable, we need to move other properties that we have zoned institutional to these zones to replace that law, just so the master plan stays balanced. I mean, the goal of the city is to provide 70% residential, 30% commercial. It's a beautiful spot, but it also has some possibilities for commercial development. That's my understanding. They are limited in space, but there was an approach to the group about some commercial development on the site, and I understand why they might be reluctant to do that because of the tightness of the spot. But again, I have had those concerns. Is that a possibility that we do that as a recommendation to the council through this, or would we have to have a separate public hearing for that?
You could pass that recommendation along to the council for informational purposes, and then they would direct us to do something like that. And if they would direct us to do it, it would be possible.
Mr. Haley?
I guess let me start by saying, nice project, nice building. I think it has a place in Franklin. Quite honestly, I think this is the wrong place. I know it looks appealing. I'm going to tell you two other things. Again, I know the area very well. I live up the street a half a mile. I would strongly encourage you to think about these things, to spend more time on the site, beyond the water, the noise. There is a constant drone from Highway 36. I hear it constantly, almost a mile north. I would question whether you really even be able to have reasonable church services on a Sunday morning given the drone. It is constant. It fluctuates throughout the day. I've got a lot of trees and a lot of space. You'll be right up against it. Noise is a significant issue. The other things, certainly I think the Ryan Road access is highly problematic. Other reasons stated, I can concur with those. I know the area well. I've also got to remind you, you've got two churches a mile up the road. Churches all have services. I make it a point of not leaving my driveway when church services are happening because everybody comes at the same time, everybody goes at the time, same time. Repeat services, 116th Street, Ryan Road are choked and not a decent place to drive before, after, and during services. So that's something else. This would only exacerbate that. So I really need to think about this. I don't think you've got enough room to make this work. I think you're going to be challenged by the site. I also concur with all of staff's recommendations. We spent over 2 years working on the comprehensive master plan, and this was one of the areas that this group was very adamant about, that the Loomis Road frontage should all be commercial. We were in agreement that any further development that fronted on Ryan Road would be residential. This is all institutional. Again, a great opportunity. I really think you're looking at the wrong space. And you may have been led here, and I know that there's a lot better sites in Franklin where you could do this. This is not one you're going to be very happy with. Okay? I think we need to stand behind the effort we put into planning the comprehensive plan. Since we adopted it, if I'm correct, we've had two proposed projects within the Southwest Quadrant. Both of them are churches. Completely contradictory to our 70-30 goals, to all the other goals we set for development of this part of Franklin. Sorry to say it, but they don't generate any property tax. They pull that off the tax roll and aren't going to help us in that issue. And you've got issues with, I don't even need to know at this point, but there's remnant parcels being left across the street. I don't know how those would be dealt with. You've got zoning issues to deal with. I really think that you're looking at the wrong site. My opinion, I look at it long and hard. But for all those reasons, and again, I agree with all the points made in the staff report. I think they've done a good job of analyzing this. This is not the right site for your development, and I can't support it.
Just a question, Mr. Haley. I know of the Southbrook issue. I'm afraid I'm running a blank as to the other church. Is there another church that we've done since we passed the conference?
No, this is the second.
Oh, the second, okay. Yeah.
But it's the only developments
right.
that we've talked about. Since.
Well, with the Southbrook Church, one of the things that they had proposed for that, which I think greatly swayed both the Plan Commission and the Common Council, is they're planning a massive community center that would be open to the public. So one of the things that both the Plan Commission and the Town Council has available to them is what's in the best interest and best welfare of the city. I think that the proposal to that community center is going to be very similar to the one that's with Hills Corners Lutheran Church, which is used by the entire community out there. So, and on top of that, there has been an ongoing dialogue in the city for some time regarding the city needing a community center and a senior facility and arts and crafts. And so the city is still going to try and pursue that endeavor. But when the council was weighing all this and when I was giving a speech on behalf of it, that was one of those things that swayed us off of the 70-30 perspective. I think on top of that, there was also a commitment on the part of Southbrook that they would agree that in the future, if there was a business park planned in their area, that they actually would be supportive of it, and a number of other factors. One of the things I've heard here tonight is that they believe that there's going to be great difficulty getting easement from the DOT, which I think you're correct. Even with the legend of Franklin, the greatest city engineer in the history of the world, Jack. That's about all I'm going to say. It's not his birthday. But I think you're going to have a great deal of difficulty with that. Up until right now, I know that Mr. Haley knows his stuff about wetlands, and I did not really understand how much of hydric soils there are out there. But if there's an argument for the building of this, it would be that if easement cannot go in there, trying to get a commercial entity to go in and then have to drive around and go in the Ryan Road entrance might be one of the best articles for going with if the Plan Commission or the Council is going to depart from the 70-30 goal, that would probably, in my opinion, be one of the heaviest arguments for that. Now, the other argument is, which came up tonight, which hasn't come up, is it's a two-lane road. People coming in and out of the church, that could be a safety issue. That, I think the council or the plan commission really needs to weigh heavily. I know that this gentleman knows that grew up in Franklin, right? So that's a new argument. I thought that some of the things I had heard, I hope I heard correctly, is that the church would be willing to have like a passive area, a picnic area for the future bikers on the bike path, and then there would be a soccer field, which we all know we need more soccer fields and tennis courts, right, Nancy? In the area. So those would be the pluses. I don't know the thing about the hydric soils, but Mr. Haley certainly has my attention now, because I know he knows the stuff about that. On top of that, we do have a public hearing, like I said earlier. I don't know that the Plan Commission has to take action tonight. Maybe there's other things regarding the easement. Can the easement go in, not go in? It's an important question. What about the argument about unsafe traffic on Ryan Road? Maybe there's other things that can be added. This is the first time that the church is really hearing from the plan commission and the feedback. You've got feedback from the planning staff, who, by the way, is recommending denial of this, based on this would be a departure from the 70-30 goal of the city. So I, you know, it may not be the wisest thing for the plan commission to take action tonight. I think what the plan commission can do is give an indicator to the church and to the parishioners whether the plan commission thinks this is a good idea or not. And we, plan commission used to do concept reviews. I moved that to the Common Council because I thought it was a wiser thing to do to get the input and feedback from the Common Council members, the elected representatives of the city, before businesses and institutions go out and start spending $1,500 on an application and $10,000 more and $20,000 more and working on architectural plans and all that, only to get to the Common Council, and then the Common Council gives them thumbs down. You know, that's. But we haven't had the opportunity of having a concept review with the council members. So, I think I've supported every single church project that has ever come in the city. Faith Community Church, when I was an alderman, I think first I voted against, but then that church made some enormous, I'll call them concessions. I think there was gifts that were given to the Franklin School District. There were some issues about whether the Southview Road should go through or not go through. So all of those things were taken under consideration with these various church projects. St. Paul's, I know we had a number of issues regarding whether the safety track for the fire department was too close to wetlands and all that, and they made a number of concessions and adjustments. So I guess my recommendation would be is let the staff go back, gather some more information. Maybe Mr. Bennett would be kind enough to meet with that gentleman and see what the DOT has to say. And I guarantee you for the third time that Mr. Haley really knows what he's talking about when it comes to wetlands. And the last thing that you would want to do, I think, or anyone would want to do, would be to put a building on a property that has a potential of flooding or sinking or whatever. I mean, lots and lots of problems. Or having spillover into their neighbors' properties from the runoff. That's my little speech on the matter. Okay.
Well, just to follow up on that and to take advantage of Commissioner Haley's familiarity with the property and his expertise, given all the issues that we've had the benefit of you noting and the complexities of getting access from the DOT and so forth, how would commercial do any better? What sort of commercial use would not be confronted by the same site difficulties? If you could just elaborate on that a little bit. The viability of it isn't really a viable site for this usage, then what taxable commercial usage would be appropriate for this site? Just to kind of end the discussion.
Do you have to address that?
Mr. Haley, and then Mr. Deedle.
I know something about this, but we're attempting to aggregate three parcels. First thing I do is I look at more parcels. The DOT can regulate access to the state highway. They can't deny access to properties that already have them. They would most likely, I don't think they're going to say no. What they'll say is you can only have a right in, right out. They wouldn't give you a median break, which is certainly an inconvenience, but you need to go and you turn somewhere else. So I think the site is developable. There's adjacent properties that could be aggregated into a larger development. You could also take advantage of potentially the areas that are developable. Where you get into a problem is when you sprawl across the entire site like this. You you've got multiple buildings instead of shorter stacked buildings, multi-levels. You've got a sprawling parking lot that nobody likes. No one wants to park in those last stalls and drive past any church on Sunday, and you'll see that. They go right up the street, and you'll see people parking in the street rather than a plentifully sized lot. So I think that there are ways that this could be done. It's just a matter of looking in the bigger context, and it may involve an additional parcel. And I think that's what a commercial business, a developer would do. They would look at acquiring more land along here and carving it up differently.
No, I appreciate that. I guess I would, or did you want to address that also?
Well, actually, yeah, go ahead, Mr. Tate.
I think that you'd be looking for flexibility. You'd be looking for uses that have the utmost flexibility in terms of site location, how they interact with the soils. Too much weight, so yes, if the Tydrick soil is too much weight, just makes the situation worse. So going multi-stories would be difficult unless you could find a pocket that works well soil-wise, then that's where you would focus the multi-story buildings. Lower weight, more dispersed development elsewhere where the soils wouldn't put up with it. Sort of on the flip side, with a more commercial use, with a greater density, there would be the potential for having more money to work with to spend on the site. So then you could do some soil remediation, move some soils around, make some of these areas more buildable and usable with a bigger pocket to work with.
I appreciate those comments. I guess the other thing I would note that is, you know, as we went through the comprehensive master plan, I think we pretty much became aware that there's a lot of soil issues in the undeveloped part of the city. And those will remain even after we get sewer service extended. That having been said, I still think they're likely to be, when it comes to commercial development, they're going to be more attractive parcels for commercial developers, and that this won't be one of their earliest, you know, highest priority sort of sites. I think a lot of the, you know, the better developments are going to have better parcels to choose from when this becomes a more, you know, practical, attractive area for commercial development. So. Again, I would say, yes, I share the reluctance to give up potential commercial land, but if we're only going to get a certain amount of commercial development, you know, no matter what we do, and there are probably parcels that will be more attractive to the commercial developers because of some of the characteristics that, yes, are problems for this group, but would be problems for any developer who would come and try to work at this site anyway. But I do appreciate the additional information that helps to, you know, expand the perspective of the opportunities.
Mr. Deal and Alderman Skransky and Mr. Mickley.
And I think that's part of the reason why we suggested the mixed use. I think there's opportunities to put a couple of things together here. You know, traditionally, you know, you might think mixed use is residential and commercial, but maybe mixed use in this case could be institutional and residential or institutional and commercial. That's what we thought that the most likely scenario would be, because you do have a lot of constraints to work around. And it's easier to work with those and work around with those if you got more room to play with, both from a monetary standpoint and size of buildings and location of buildings, the relationship of buildings, and mixed use might provide that flexibility. So we thought that was an interesting idea. That's why we suggested it.
Alderman Scrasper?
Yeah, I respect everybody else's opinion.
Can you pull your microphone down there a little bit?
I respect everybody else's opinion. It's good because there's a lot of things that are brought up that still have to be answered, and in order to see where things are viable. First of all, the building, as it's located there, is only on parcel G. It's not on parcel H or I. So it's on the furthest east as possible. Parcels to the west or to the east, there are residences there, and then there's a large pond. So you're not getting much more use out of any property going that way. Going to the west, you have really a piece of property that's virtually not usable at all, that's owned by the DOT, and then you have the corporate line. So you're not going into Muskego. And so that narrow of that trapezoid piece of property is almost virtually leave it as it is and keep the green space and utilize it as much as possible. You know, there's no question this corner of Franklin at this particular area between 36 and 9 does have some unique, let's say, hardships in order to make it work. To be honest with you, when we did the comprehensive master plan, and I'm very familiar with that, there were areas that were
kind of blocked out. We didn't own property lines and narrowed it. We took an area and said, yeah, this could be possibly done in commercial. Now, if all the rest of the people up the line want to sell their house, and I know Mr. Janoszewski isn't going to sell his because he just built it, so he's going to stay with that. And the property across the street is a whole different ballgame. This, if you want to call it a remnant, would have some use now. And the complete comprehensive master plan, there is no sites designated for institutional such as a church. Period. There isn't. And those things would be the minimum type of use in the entire area because they would be spotted within certain areas to service the citizens and around or to build their flock in order to come to church. So, you know, I think the people should go back, look at this, get some more details, possibly come back again to satisfy all the commissioners and their questions on the hydric soils, the wetlands, and things like that, and to have more of a confidence builder in the people sitting up here that have to make a decision. But I think it's a good spot for it. Yeah, you have some difficulties. I explained that to the pastor when we sat down and to the architect and one of the other gentlemen. It's not going to be a slam dunk, I understand that. But I think for what's here does fit the remnant piece of property here rather than leaving it there because you're not going to put a commercial development in there. I don't care what you say. I'm well familiar with it. I go by it a lot. I know it. I've been here for almost 40 years, so I know the area too. But I think if we want to leave all the property vacant, we can do that. But in some cases, if it's desirable and it will work and they're willing to put the extra effort into it, it fits the landscape, I think we have to look at them and give them that opportunity. But I think there's a lot of questions that have to be answered. And there's no question we're with Mr. Bennett on the traffic. It would be good to go off to 36. There would be no question about that. And I think at this point, because the decision of this church going in isn't going to be for a couple of years, the road would be done by then. They're not going to be chopping up the road or anything like that at this point. I think the folks should, when you look at this, take all the comments from everybody up here and possibly take all the advice they can on all the professionals and then maybe come back again to talk about it.
Just one point. We did the rezoning of the city. I mean, we're looking at 36 square miles or 34 point something square miles. In the area of Southwest Quadrant, there's something like 8.5 square miles or the size of maybe West Dallas. So, but my recollection is there is a parcel that the Plan Commission did recommend for institutional purposes. It's over where the Archdiocese property is. Fairly large segment of it. While I think many would say that, well, that was for schools, there is, in fact, it is recommended for institutional zoning. So, Ms. McLeod, and then Mr. Bennett.
I want to reiterate some of the things that Kevin said. He made a lot of good points about the size of the broken up parcels, and you don't have to squint too hard to look at this to see that there's a bit of a square peg in a round hole here. I obviously have nothing against a church development. It's a wonderful looking development in isolation, but while the council may be able to depart from planning, I think it behooves us as the Plan Commission to kind of stick to planning in our recommendation, because we're only at recommendation level at this point, correct? And recommend that in light of the fact that we have a movie theater and a cornfield out there, we'd like to create anchors out there that support that business. That's part of the master plan, that perhaps we have to take that into account as well as the fact that we're just trying to get an odd piece of property to work. So if it came up for vote, I would have to vote against rezoning or an amendment.
Ms. Bennett?
Yeah, I think, at least from my standpoint, we don't have a delineated wetland. And I think it would be a mistake either way, for the Planning Commission to take any action on this until we have a delineated wetland. And we are getting to the time now that in April, DNR will allow a wetland delineation. April 15th, when is it?
They're doing it now.
Okay, they're doing it now. So we can get a wetland delineation. It will answer the question for the church. It will answer our questions. And may not be a viable site. We'll find out. So I would suggest that we get a delineated wetland. I'm happy to talk to DOT and I guess on the city's interest, I would be interested in finding out if DOT is receptive to any kind of use that went in there for access. Because surely, you know, as mentioned, I think it would be probably a mistake. Commercial's not going to go in there if they can't get access to Loomis Road. I don't know that we want industrial going in and then coming off of what would be a residential street with heavy trucking. I'm city engineer. I sure wouldn't like to see that because I have to maintain that street. So I think we should get as many questions as we can get answered before we make a decision. And it may end up to be that there's no decision to make. And so get the wetlands delineated. That's going to tell you, because if it's pre-converted wetlands, they're going to show that as wetlands. If it's a farm field that's been farmed but was pre-converted, DNR is going to show that as wetlands just because it may not look like wetlands. So get a certified biologist to go out. And I would suggest if we've got a little bit of time that we use sewer pack. Both DNR and we all pretty much respect the delineation that sewer pack does, and we normally don't have any problems with DNR with sewer pack delineation. So I would suggest, and that won't cost you anything, if you get a letter to Mr. Deedle, we can get a sewer pack. And I don't think they aren't as backed up, are they, as they used to be?
Not as they used to be, but it is starting to pick up now.
Okay. So you do have to be a little patient, or if not, you can hire a biologist to do it, and you got to pay for it. But get the wetland delineation, at least meet with DOT so we can get the final answer. I'm not saying DOT is going to give you access, but at least maybe we can get some arguing points why it should have. And let's get those questions answered and then bring it back. And if you aren't going to do anything for a few years, I think that would be the best way to do it. And then you don't want to buy the property and then find out that you've got a problem. So this is going to be due diligence anyway before you sign your dotted line on that property to be sure it's going to work for you. And you know, Kevin, Mr. Haley is absolutely right that you better know what your wetlands are because they can devastate a parcel fast.
That's part of it.
Mr. Fowler?
The parking lot, and I agree with Kevin, and I do defer to him on the wetland expertise, but I would urge, if you are going to get a wetland delineation done this year, Sewer Pack is rapidly backing up. The last time I've talked with them, they've gone, from, I think, from about a three-week wait to a six-week wait within a month, and they're talking that process, because a lot of developments are coming in southeast Wisconsin with the economy turning around. I would recommend, if you're going to do that, to get to them as quickly as possible before you get backed up. Get in line with a lot of other developments.
Yeah, Mr. Haley, go ahead.
One other piece of advice. Three advice. It's worth
it. for those that don't know, Mr. Haley is the architectural landscape for the Milwaukee County Parks. So he pretty much, I just say he built all the parks, and then Kevin denies it. So, but he really does know his stuff.
While you're there talking to the DOT, ask him about that parcel to the west. They'd probably be more than happy to carve it off and peel it. They bought it when they realigned Loomis Road. That's what they have to do. They have to buy entire parcels. Once the roads are constructed, they look at those areas as surplus. There's a process by which they could excise it and give it to you cheaper, free, or very reasonably. So I would ask that question, because they don't want to hold it either, and they don't anticipate expanding or rebuilding the road at that point in time. So that may help you, and I guess I'd also look for those properties directly.
Well, we we do have other items on the agenda, and I just want to say that it is, I guess I could just simply schedule a concept review before the Common Council, but based on tonight's discussion, especially on the wetland issues and the easement issues, might be best for, like Jack Bennett says, do some due diligence on those things. This is a complete surprise to me that the discussion about the wetlands and the severity of potentially, you know, a difficult parcel being there, it's possible nothing should be built there at all, except maybe a park or something. I don't know. But I just think it would be in everybody's best interest to do the wetland delineation and or to get a signal from the Common Council who approved the comprehensive master plan for the for the city with the 70-30 factor in it. And maybe you just want to get a thumbs up or thumbs down from the council on whether they would support this at the conclusion of the process before going out and spending tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars on permitting and experts and consultants, et cetera, et cetera. But with that, I'm taking it for the recommendation of the Plan Commission to take no action tonight. Mr. Ritter,
are we under any time deadline for action?
There is the public hearing notice for the Comprehensive Master Plan Amendment has been sent out, and it was scheduled for the April 17th Common Council meeting. So that public hearing would be held. I suppose the applicant could notify the Common Council that they would wish no action, but they could also wish to proceed with that public hearing as well. And if that's the case, then I would say that this whole matter would go to the Common Council, and they would decide whether they wanted to take action that night or some other action. A concept review could be held at the next Common Council meeting for April 2nd, if they wish.
But I'll be more clear. Is there any specific deadline for action by the Plan Commission on this matter?
I think you have to forward the recommendation to the Council before they act.
City Attorney.
Mr. Folks to tell us that there's a 30-day provision UPO, and that is for action by the Plan Commission or action from recommendation by the Plan Commission to the Common Council.
Well, while the city attorney is looking that up, sir, you're with
me. Mr. Mayor, I don't know if it's appropriate at this time, but We're very anxious to look into the site further and answer all of your questions. All of those questions and all those answers will cost the church a bit of money. Is it appropriate at this time? We have a straw poll of the members to determine if this body will support the confident of perhaps backing off of the 70-30 ratio. Because without that support, it doesn't matter how much money we throw at this, if we only have.
Well, one of the things that I did since I've been the mayor is I moved the concept reviews to the Common Council for that specific reason, so that the elected officials who have the final say in all this could weigh in on it. This particular matter, this didn't get for a concept review. And so that's why I was throwing that out before, is so that you don't go and waste, I don't know if the site is buildable or not, but You know, it's like the E.F. Hutton thing. When Kevin talks, I listen. If he's saying that there's potential wetland issues there, you might want to get the opinion of the Common Council before you move further. I have no intentions of seeing anybody waste their money on needless drawings and permitting and all that, as much as the city could use the extra revenue. That's not what we're here for. We've tried to do that with business. I think it's been very successful. All of a sudden we've seen an increase in the number of businesses that are wanting to come into Franklin. But some businesses used to come in here and spend years on the process only to get to the common council, and the council would vote it down. And that is not a good way to do business. So, you know, again, I would throw that out there. Maybe the pastor can get back to Alderman Skaronski or myself with whether you want to go for a concept review. It would either be the next common council meeting or one after that. And I also realize that I'm sure there's some time limits on whether to buy the property or not buy the property. Everyone up here, I think you could hear, is sort of dying to say yes, especially with Nancy out there. I mean, it's like, talk about pressure. but it's, we also don't want to give you bad advice or vote for something only to make it be just a huge mistake. On top of that, you have a plan, you have the planning department for the city, where the city common council pays money towards to give them good advice. Right now, they're recommending denial. So that is the recommendation that will go to the common council. So I hope I sort of answered your question. If you want a straw poll from the members, I guess I would be reluctant. I would advise the plan commissioners not to do that. But the council, you know, I have the ability of putting it on the next common council agenda for their review. And you know, you'll be able to tell very quickly from the answers from the aldermen if they're supportive or not supportive.
We would very much appreciate that. I'm looking forward to seeing you sort of that next council.
And you know, we're throwing a lot of stuff at you. This is the—I mean, you've worked on this for years and years, and you know, like to see the whole city full of church bells and, you know, happy people, little kids with smiles on their faces. But it's killing us.
And I too do not want to see the applicant have to waste money, but I am concerned as the things that Kevin has brought up to me, I did not realize the extent that those wetlands could be. And it would be just as costly if we don't have an answer on those agricultural fields if they are reverting back to wetlands that would support a parking lot or would support that. We've seen in the past when parking lots have gone into areas like that, not only in the city of Franklin but elsewhere, that there is great cost to repairing a parking lot that was placed in a bad spot, or the cost to bring the soils up to the status that would be needed for a parking lot could also add a cost that the church could use that money for other things. I'm sure they have a lot of other issues that they'd like to deal with other than just keep repairing a parking lot. So again, I would be concerned with that as well, and I'd like to see that those answers found, both for your sake and for ours.
I have to ask you this, sir, otherwise I have to suspend the regular order of business. Are you with the...
architecture.
Okay, thank you.
So just from a procedural or technical standpoint...
Could you please state your name and address?
I'm Jeff Trito with Corpview Architects. Thank you. Same address as Chris. We, prior to any potential closing date on the purchase, a wetland delineation is going to be done. Discussing with the DOT access is also something we want to answer on prior to them closing. So... these are all great points, and they're items that we're concerned about as well, and are part of what we're doing. We're trying to get, you know, through this process to the Common Council level so that all of those things can be running somewhat parallel, getting answers so that they can make a good decision about whether to purchase it or not. So we're hoping to, on behalf of everyone else that may be looking at this property down the road, the church is going to be investing in finding out just what level of wetlands or soil conditions are. Those are part of what are going to take place between now and that meeting. So whether or not that influences the decision of this group to act one way or the other, those things aren't planned prior to that meeting.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Ms. Bennett?
Yeah. Could we ask the city attorney if there's some way we can buy time on this? Could we somehow open the public hearing at the council and then close it and postpone it? Isn't there some way that we aren't locked into a time schedule that seems not good for the applicant nor good for the plan commission and have some time to do these things? And if they want to do it, I think they need to have these answers before they go to the council, too. No sense going to the council with with a lot of gray areas, particularly the wetlands. Better, you know, there's no sense going to the council. If the wetlands are okay, is it okay? Let's find out. And can't we somehow do something to give some time? If the owners want it, could they postpone that hearing?
City Attorney, did you want to answer that or the first question you had?
On the first point, whether or not there's a time limit on the Plan Commission, there is a 30-day statement in the UDO. The recommendation shall be made within 30 days after the public hearing in writing to the Common Council. That's always been there. The issues come up historically, and there's a debate whether that's mandatory or directory. I know why it's there, because the Plan Commission probably suggested that when this was being written 15 years ago, because in the statute, says that the Plan Commission does not report to the council within 60 days, the council can hold its own public hearing. So in other words, the Plan Commission can't hold up the process if they don't take any action. In this case, they removed the entire issue by treating it the same as a plat, where have the applicant agree that the 30-day can be extended pending the further factual investigation. Then there's a piece of that paper there in agreement. There is no issue. And staff returns the subject matter to the Plan Commission when it's ready. And if there's no consent to that execution, staff can bring it back at the next regular meeting. I think Mr. Bennett's now asking about whether or not you have to hold the comprehensive master plan public hearing. It's a 30-day notice. It's already been scheduled. That's the only reason that it has to be held. It can start and then be adjourned from that date or continued. And at the same time, no action has to be taken by the Common Council forthwith on the comprehensive master plan application. The council, there's no time requirements on the Common Council on a rezoning or a master plan. So the council doesn't have that.
Yeah. Just to get to, and we do need to move on because people have other business here, but I need not seek the advice of anyone to place something on the Common Council agenda, such as a concept review. So, and that's what I have done in the past. But I would like to first get the input of the alderman for the district and the pastor. So with that, yeah, Mr. Ritter.
I will move to refer this to staff for consideration of the matters discussed by the commission this evening, gathering additional information to be returned to the commission at such time as the additional information relevant to the issues raised by the commission is available and the matter is suitable for action by the commission.
I'll second that.
Right. Under discussion, seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. See, I told you it was going
to
be something.
You got your homework to do.
Thank you. Let's see. Which item are you here for? I know Mr. Barnicki is.
Hidden Lakes.
Pardon?
Hidden Lakes.
Hidden Lakes.
Three C.
It's Hidden Lakes. Whitnall Park is 3D.
There was a request to take D, so I'm just going to do that quickly.
Yes.
Item D is Whitnall Park Terrace, and then we'll go right to the Hidden Lakes. Yes.
Mr. Woods is raising another point, and that's that on the comp plan proposal, you don't have to take action on that, but it's going to a public hearing at the Common Council, and so there might not be a recommendation there.
Just for the notice.
I've got to refer that back to my committee.
Well, that's been done already.
Well, while you're looking that up, we're going to go to item D. There's people sitting out there on these hardback chairs. Moving approval, there's a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please. Yeah. Item D.
Okay. Clarity on the motion, please.
Yes. Approval of what?
To go to that item.
Oh, the motion is to vary from the previous agenda to consider item D at this time?
Yes.
Okay.
Item D. All right. That was the motion, was for item D. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I say motion carries. We now turn to Hidden Lakes.
Item
3C.
You just approved the motion to move to item D.
No, no. I just moved there without that.
We just voted on a motion to move to item D.
You're moving on item D, right? Jack?
I was moving on item D.
Yes.
Let's
take it.
Sign?
Yeah, because there's complications. Let's take
okay.
Item D again.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay. C.
3D.
All
right, one page. Listen to the chairman.
Okay.
All right. Item D is up. All right, there was a motion to approve. All right, is there still a motion to approve?
I would withdraw that if somebody wants to talk about it.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Okay. There is no motion. Did someone want to talk about item D? If not,
Ritter, you better talk about it.
Just recap from staff. What is the requested action item that the commission is so anxious to approve?
The applicant would like the plan commission to direct staff to enforce its ordinances and force the owner to the north, pick say Crown Group, to treat some trees so they don't die, to replace other trees, to prepare a long-term maintenance plan for the long-term maintenance of that landscape buffer between them and between the Litnell Park Terrace condominiums. Staff is recommending that there be no action, that there is no violation, no need to further implement our ordinances. There is some deterioration of the landscape buffer. We concur. We don't think it's a point which any action needs to be taken by the city. We have volunteered to work with both applicants so that if that point ever is reached, then we would recommend that some further action be taken. Furthermore, the Director of Administration has volunteered to write a letter to strongly, strongly encourage the owners to the north to do what the Peace Condo Association is asking for. And he drafted that letter this week, and it would be going on shortly.
Yes. Go ahead.
And in a previous meeting, we have discussed aldermen getting involved. I don't know whether a complaint has been filed, but it sounds like essentially this is a complaint type issue. In a previous meeting discussion, similar to items, rather than staff take action on a complaint, there's been discussion of getting the aldermen involved. Is the consensus of the commission that
I placed this item on the agenda, and I did so because Mr. Barnecki and his association have for some time trying to get a resolve to this all outstanding issue that's been going on and on and on and on. The alderman of the district has been contacting me as well regarding this issue. My understanding is the enforcement and the plan commission, when it approved this, did it based on some conditions that the group that owns the property would comply with it. They have made strides, and they are making strides with the city. However, even when I worked at Milwaukee County in the courthouse, things moved quicker than they did on this particular issue. This came to the point, as far as I was concerned as the mayor, of getting this off the dime, bringing it to the plan commission for their attention, so that we get this thing resolved and it doesn't linger and linger and linger and linger. And it is true that I talked to the manager of the facility, and I think that there was some miscommunication and all that. But what Mr. Barnecki, who is the president of the Homeowners Association, right, or for that area, is saying, please, as a resident of Franklin, give me some support and give some direction to the staff that when the plan commission approve something and conditions it, that the plan commission is serious about it, the enforcement of it. And you know, I've talked to Mr. Deedle, and I've talked to the manager, I've talked to Mr. Liberta, but I put this on here because these types of things should be handled, and they should be handled in an expedient manner, not to the point where the mayor of the city has to get involved and take it to the plan commissioner, to the county council. Now, the staff has had a lot of things to do, but this needs some sort of resolve. Now, the Crown Group has made some strides, pretty good strides, as I understand it. But if they promise to do this and they promise to do that to the plan commission, to the county council of the city, then we need them to get that done. And that's why it's here. It's back to you because you're the party plan commission. Maybe you weren't sitting in the seats. But that plan commission said, okay, we'll approve this, but you agree you will do this, 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 and this. And they said yes. So that's why it's here. And
you oftentimes have draft motions on matters. Do you have a draft motion?
Motion to approve. We don't. It's at the a motion as the chairman or the plan commission may desire. I would say that make a motion that the plan commission recommends strongly to the staff to work to enforce the original provisions that were in front of that the plan commission enforced or recommended years ago. This issue. So that would be my motion. Mr. Fowler, you
would? I would so move that.
I'll second it.
Under discussion, Mr. Fowler?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. One of the issues I think with this berm, because I live in this area and I see that berm and I know it's deteriorated, but the evergreens, with what's happening as we warm, pine trees seem to be dying in our neighborhood at a rapid rate. I understand from what we are telling Crownwell to do, they need an evergreen screen. Is there, would the neighborhood association and Crownwell be not adverse to maybe putting in different plants that might have a better chance of surviving with things that change? These evergreens might not be the best choice. Maybe years ago they were, but do we have the ability to say, hey, we could maybe do better than the evergreen screens are we keep, but we might want to plant something different? And I would defer to Kevin, who's our tree expert as well. But I would think that there might be other types of screen plants that we might want to put in there in lieu of these evergreens, which seem to be not thriving. And I would ask that question.
Yes. And then again, to reinforce the urgency that the Plan Commission would have, should we set a date by which staff would report back with an action plan from the adjacent property owner? Or would that be beneficial in order to show that we are serious about?
Yes, I think it would.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's 60 days from now or 100 days to give staff some time to
whatever time is reasonable to get action. I think if
60
days.
I'll put 60 in.
Okay. Right. And I'll second. All right. And that's. Okay.
And let me just add to that that they could work with the property owners and maybe even Kevin if they need some suggestions on what kind of trees would better survive, because I'm sure, I think both of them would like to put in something that's going to live. So, and maybe Kevin could give some assistance to planning staff.
Okay, just on this note, many of you have sat on a planning commission with me for 8 years, if not longer, and I rarely do this, but, you know, Mr. Barnicki here is, we've got one living legend, there's another one in the audience, that's Mr. Barnicki, because he had the same job in South Milwaukee, correct? Or is it
Sherwood.
And I know that he doesn't write letters unless everything has been totally exhausted. And when I get a letter from Mr. Barnicki, I'm going to pay very close attention to it. I also am bringing it here because I want this to be, okay, we have some issues, let's try and resolve them now. There's another side to this, and that there was massive problems in communication, and I'm not pointing at staff on that either, and I think Mr. Barnicki knows that. But let's get an answer to him. The alderman's got, I don't know how many people live over there, it's quite a few. I think everybody understands. All right, any further discussion on it? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it, motion carries. You're welcome. By the way, thank you for serving on the Board of Public Works for this thing. All right, Hidden Lakes, subdivision monument sign.
This is a fairly straightforward matter. They are replacing their existing monument sign. Staff has reviewed it. We're recommending approval. The engineering department has looked at this issue as well, along with the landscaping in the area. They have no problems, I believe. So it is pretty straightforward, just replacing a subdivision monument sign. Staff has recommended
approval. Any questions? Comments? Move
approval.
Is there a motion?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Where are we? Home Depot? Home Depot.
Yeah.
Mr. Deedle?
This should be straightforward, too. Home Depot has been before us many times for their annual spring, summer, fall landscaping, outdoor display and sales area. And the PDD does identify an area within which those kinds of activities can occur if approved by the Planning Commission.
Sir, are you here on Home Depot? Okay.
Yes, I am.
All right. Is there a motion to approve a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a temporary use for outdoor seasonal tree and shrub sales for property located at 6489 South 27th Street?
So moved. So,
second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Mr. Ritter and Mr. Haley.
We have done this for some years now. Have there been any complaints, reports to the police department, or complaints to the alderman, anything like that with regard to this?
And we suggest every year that they could do a PDD amendment and never have to do this again, but they're okay with this process.
Mr. Haley?
That was the essence of my question.
Mm. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to
this one.
City of Franklin Trails Committee.
This is terrible. Yeah. What are you going to do with these guys?
I thought we skipped it something.
Yeah.
I got all these phone calls.
I need to know why sidewalks didn't go in front of their house after that article was
displayed. I didn't even see the article.
Okay, Mr. Fowler, you're on.
I'm on? I thought where's 3E?
Oh.
No.
Oh, we're at Milwaukee right. County Sports Complex.
I thought I had a little more time.
Right. Kevin's favorite subject.
B?
3E, it's the sports complex.
Got a good start with your class. Milwaukee County Sports Complex, historical uses. I asked that this be placed on the agenda. Reason I didn't is that I, like many, many, many others, went out to the very, very, very successful golf show that was held at the sports complex. Unfortunately, it was so successful that when I got there, the sheriff's department had the road blocked off, and they were not allowing any traffic in. And the people that I eventually did get into the facility, and when I did, that parking lot that was supposed to be paved some years ago still has not been paved. It was full of craters. People were bottoming out on their cars, and it was, I would describe it as just a disaster. I'm surprised I didn't get more complaints from the neighbors over there because people were parking all the way up to where the fire station is on 60th Street and walking that distance. And I know that they were parking up on Fremont Park, and I don't know if they were parking in the cobblestone with the condominiums, but it was a complete, total mess. But the thing that, more importantly, I am putting this on here for is that I have meetings with both the police chief and the fire chief, sometimes weekly, sometimes every 2 weeks, and asked both of them about this, and they were knowledgeable about the traffic and the mess. And, but the, when I asked the fire chief about it. He said, I'm not so sure we could have got emergency vehicles. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back with me. That's totally, completely unacceptable and cannot be tolerated under any circumstances. We have an incident in that facility and we can't get our emergency vehicles in. One, it's not good for the reputation of the city. Two, it's a potential liability for the city of Franklin and the residents of this community for, one, allowing them to go on and not being handled properly. Did refer this matter to the city attorney. I don't remember exactly when. Long time ago. There were lots and lots of discussions that were held with the Milwaukee County Parks Department. I think I reported back in one of those that looked like we had a very, very successful agreement. In fact, I was of the impression we did. And then I think we received a call and there was, maybe we have to do something here. And then I think kind of just got off the radar screen. We did get a listing of events. The clerk gets them from the manager over there. But I see absolutely no end in sight for an agreement. And absent that, I mean, there comes a time where, okay, so you're not going to do a deal. Right? Not going to do a deal? We have ordinances. And we have lots and lots of ordinances regarding that particular facility. This just, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I'll tell the common council the same thing. What happened there cannot happen, cannot be allowed. We must have the ability of getting our emergency vehicles in there. We have to, when people are driving into that sports complex, they don't know that that's necessarily a Milwaukee County facility. They know that they are in the city of Franklin, and the reputation of the city is at stake. I thank God took my truck out there that day and got through some of the very, very deep potholes, and I mean deep. And there were people all over, and I think the windows were closed because it was cold out, but you could see their lips, and they weren't happy. And not a good situation. So, given that the Plan Commission, this was in front of you before, given that we did attempt to put together a settlement agreement, and given that it's been quite a bit of time that we have nothing, really, I can't say that there's even a glimmer of hope regarding a settlement agreement. Mayor of the City, I think we have to go back and we have to resort to the ordinances and we have to resort to each and every event being looked at separately and uniquely. And that's it. I'm going to ask the city attorney if he has any comments on it. But city attorney?
No, and frankly, I thought, just based on prior discussions and the memo in the back, different, and just in terms of defining uses that would be automatically permitted, there was what I think call a small print, very large paragraph with, off the top of my head, I'm going to guess maybe 100 uses, and some of the words I recall on the run looked up and very Webster's because I didn't know what they were. And frankly, I never did the 100% follow through.
Well, and I think there's.
So I will follow up now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say there's concern driven by this particular event. Is there substantial safety concerns? So if we get this done in short order or not? And I understand that this is staff, not officials making any decisions on that. So it will ultimately go to the county board, as I understand it. But
But I'll follow up on that.
Okay. There is a, my understanding, there's another event coming up. And the type of event, I believe, is the event that brought this to the attention of the Plan Commission in the first place. It was the sleepover. And that's where it was the final straw. And we tried to come about with a settlement agreement on this. So I think that one is coming here, and I think the staff and the city attorney can work out the details, but absent an agreement, I believe each and every one of those events is going to have to come back to the Plan Commission. Mr. Haley?
Just for the edification of all present, as you're well aware, I have something now about the facilities out there. We have finished the design and have cut a contract for the reconstruction of the parking lot, both the old and the new. Contractor was ready to mobilize. We have directed them to not start work, actually at great expense, until after June 4th to avoid exactly this. Franklin High School graduation ceremony will be there. If the contractor started now, we would have the whole area torn up and inaccessible for a very large event. So we've taken that under advisement. Didn't want to get into the same situation we had. We'll be leaving things as is so that they're intact, and they'll be starting work immediately after the high school graduation.
I mean, as you're well aware, I've been told for probably a year and a half that the parking lot was going to be put in place. The golf event. Anyone that was there, anyone that saw it, will tell you exactly what I just said. So it's just it cannot. Not have a situation where emergency vehicles, there's any possibility our emergency vehicles can't get in. Mr. Rick?
I'm just curious, does the contract call for completion within a specified time period?
Yes, it is. The contract, once he starts, is going to try to push to get back to so that technically he's got better than 2 months.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering, should we, you know, should the commission request from staff a follow-up report first or second August meeting regarding completion of that and any subsequent agreement with the county with regard to approval? Or, I mean, yes, this has been before it before. As you had indicated, Mayor, we thought things were moving along and if something was going to be worked out. It sounds like we ought to continue to follow up on this until such time as satisfactory results have been achieved. So I'm just wondering, should we schedule this for a follow-up sometime in August to see status of what's been accomplished?
Yes, but I think you've got an event coming up right now.
Yes, and we recommend to the manager that anything that's not clear come back to the Plan Commission as a temporary use. And since 2009, they generally have been doing that. It might be one that we recommended that he didn't come forward, but all the others they have. So they're doing a much better job of at least those uses that aren't clear fits for sports and recreational use come to the Plan Commission. They didn't have any of those events last year, to our knowledge. And that's always another concern is we get this list, but there's no guarantee that's all the events that they're having. But from the list they give us, there appeared to have been no problems since that meeting back in 2009. And I don't believe that those events that required temporary uses before were held last year. And actually, one of them in particular, in the latest email, says wasn't held last year. And then there is a new one coming up this year. And as we usually do, we will notify the manager that will have to come to the Plan Commission first.
Well, and the list was contingent upon reaching a settlement.
Yes.
On the overall thing. And both parties clearly would be, my opinion, would be wise to have such an agreement because both benefit from such an agreement. The good news with the golf event is it was wildly successful to the point where you would think that next year it's going to even be more successful. But and even with the parking lot the way it is, or even it was constructed, it would never hold the amount of traffic. There may need to be some like shuttle service or alternative parking lots, something of that order. I mean, clearly Franklin would love to see those types of events occur here, and it's good for us. But you know, when the sheriff's is blocking off the traffic, and thank God we didn't have an incident out there. That's all I can say. So, Mr. Fowler?
My question.
Okay. I guess you'll have to look into that next event and just try and work things out with the city attorney. I am correct, right, when I say that we were, like, this close to there's an agreement, or I thought I came back and almost reported that we had an agreement. Something changed.
Was this with the new administration or the old administration? Is there any hope with the new administration that we can make that more headway?
This was
with Abley's? Yeah.
Oh, not Abley, no. In fact, I think I talked to Holloway on a one-on-one basis with this when he was a county executive, acting county executive. So there's a lot of, you know, lots of things that need to be done. I know better than anyone that the Parks Department is working with limited resources and limited personnel, but I also have to care for the safety and welfare of the people in Franklin and the people visiting. Okay. What else?
Trail sweeping. That works.
We need a motion on that.
Oh.
Well, I would move to refer this to staff to report back to the commission by, say, the second meeting in August regarding completion of improvements currently anticipated, you know, on the site and any agreement that may have been reached.
That's not going to solve the problem, right? No.
That would just be I took the state attorney's comments as indicating he was going to continue to work to reach an agreement. And so we would get, ideally, that would be executed or, you know, concluded by that point in time. So we could get a report back on that, or the staff can report back sooner if it's concluded sooner. The other aspect would be any physical improvements to the site. So those are the two things I suppose that I would expect to be addressed in that report.
Should we put those in the form of a motion, both?
Maybe staff report back to the plan commission by the second meeting in August on the status of those items.
Is there a second?
Second.
Under discussion?
Yeah. Can we add to that I think something has to be worked out between parks and planning staff that they make provisions for overcrowds. When they know they're going to have an event that's going to be more than they can handle, because that makes the city look bad, too. Remember we had on the Creation Park, we had that one celebration they had that was a disaster that brought all kinds of people into Franklin, and they didn't have the food, they didn't have the drink, they didn't have anything to have. I can't remember what celebration that was.
I think it was a colonial one, 36 that happened.
I was the one over on 76th Street. But anyway, I don't think it makes any difference. I think we should get some kind of working relationship with Milwaukee County that they're going to properly plan for these, and when they think they're going to have a crowd that's going to overtake their facilities, that they have remote parking and transportation and or make the vendors do. I don't know, Milwaukee County obviously isn't going to have to do all that, but make provisions that their vendors are going to have facilities for that. So maybe there could be a better communications between, and I think the city should somehow get involved, because as the mayor says, we seem to end up kind of holding the bag in the end.
Are we in a position to be able to say that they have been in violation of the special use with regard to, let's say, this recent event where there was more activity on site than the site was designed to accommodate? That provide the basis for a firmer position with the county with regard to working out something, you know, so that they have a plan and are prepared to take action when the event overstresses their facility.
My understanding is the parking lot issue came up as a result of Milwaukee County being in violation of the ordinance as a special use permit. And it's not something that we're asking, it's something that we would normally enforce.
Well, and that's why I bring this up. Are there other points of enforcement that would give staff something to work with in terms of working out? Okay,
So, well, then staff could, yes, I would add that to the motion, staff could report back.
Well, and that, you know, that, and that was, there was at least my hope that we would be able to fashion a settlement agreement that would come to the Common Council that would replace what had been in place so that the Milwaukee County and what was the other event? There was a couple Tea Party out there that people wouldn't have to come back in all this stuff and go through all these somewhat silliness of doing the special use thing, and we have understanding and things are codified regarding use of the facility. Now, we use that facility for elections, so I'm well aware of that, and have another situation here that I guess potential safety issue with that, depending on what the turnout is. And then the high school, I guess, I've never really been informed of this. I guess it's a relationship between the high school and the county. I had no idea until I just brought this issue up that the graduation is taking place. I take it. You may have said something about that.
Yeah, graduation without the ground.
And I know that the baseball teams have used the facility for the pitching when it's inclement weather, all that. But, you know, Kevin and I have sat across the table from one another, and if there gets a point where you're talking about a demand or a wish or whatever, it gets to a point where, okay, well, we're not going to agree on that, so let's go back to the basics. The basics are we have an ordinance. And that's it. So I think I'm going way beyond what I need to do. We have a motion on the table. It's been seconded, I believe, or has it?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
I'm okay with the report back.
All right. Those opposed? 6 ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. All right. Next item is what?
Trails
Committee.
Finally.
I waited all night for this.
I can save some of the items that we have for the Trails Committee for the next meeting, but the two things that I did want to bring to the Planning Commission's attention, and I'm going to have to work with Nick on this, there are two grants coming up that we're going to need a resolution from the Council on. Safe Routes to School, John McClick sent me an email today. I have not had a chance to delve into it, but I'm assuming that the deadline for that is coming.
The grant period's open.
So we'll be at... will be at some point going to the council for a resolution just to pursue that grant. And the stewardship grant is a little bit more timely. That ends in April. I'd like to have Nick prepare for the next council meeting that I will be bringing a resolution forward to the council for permission to apply for a grant for the stewardship grant. Excuse me. To apply for a stewardship grant, the target of that grant will be the Pleasant View, the area behind the Pleasant View School, to tie trails, to tie Victory Creek subdivision, and perhaps Marquette. Thank you. It's one of those big tents.
Funny,
almost big tent schools. Okay, Marquette's going to start in 10 minutes.
Bridge Street, but to tie
those two areas to the side, not to the actually to the school itself, because they have some requirements. I don't think we'll be able to meet. I'd like to tie it to the sidewalk. I believe either to the east or west of the school. We are still in debate at our committee on the exact nature of that sidewalk, but I think we can come to a resolution of how that would be done. But the grant doesn't require us to have exact layout, but we're just going to be telling them the approximate distances. And we'll also be asking probably planning staff and engineering staff to give us perhaps a brief cost estimate on what those trails might cost.
I was going to ask you, is there going to be a fiscal note attached?
Yes. If we have to have one, meanwhile.
The other question I have for you is the Trails Committee, given that that was a ad hoc committee, I believe, created by the mayor, is by the actions that were taken by the council, is the Trails Committee actually in place, or is the action that the council made replaced the Trails Committee?
Well, that was going to be my last question, so you beat me to it.
Yeah.
I believe, and I think the Trails Committee believes, that we are now the
Complete streets.
Complete streets connectivity.
That's my understanding, so maybe I can ask the city attorneys when I was around this. given that I was tasked with putting an ad hoc development or ad hoc committee together, can I disband it and say that the other one is in place? Because I'll tell you one of the things we're getting into just with Ford Franklin thing. You mean the EDC? No. It's Ford Franklin. It's Ford Franklin Economic Development Commission, but it's not EDC, except it is the EDC.
I would make one recommendation to the change of our committee that we still have the solution of the Pleasant View School as one of the tasks for that group. That still needs to remain. We're getting close to having a resolution of that. And I believe we can still get that accomplished with the university, even though Jack says they all hate me now because the sidewalk's going on. But is that true?
You're the guy to hate.
I'm the guy to hate.
It's much more now.
You want to give Kevin Schaefer a little competition?
Yeah. You're not talking citywide, right?
That's citywide. Yeah. I'm already making it. Well, anyway, I do believe we need to. I would respectfully request that we leave that task as one of the tasks on for that the Franklin Complete Streets and Connectivity Committee. But I think everything else can remain at it, and I think I'll bring it back to our committee to be sure that they're in agreement with that, and then come back with a recommendation from the committee to the mayor. But as of now, we can be informally rename our task to be determined later.
I agree with you. I think that the Connectivity Committee, Complete Streets Connectivity Committee, replaced the Trails Committee.
Right. I agree with that.
So that there's no misunderstanding later on where somebody says, well, you know, this or that. I want to get to some clarity to it.
It doesn't spell anything weird, does it?
Probably does. We'll have to figure it out. Sitka or something.
That's not bad.
But is there anything else? I have two of the members of my committee here. Did I miss anything of import? I cannot wait till the next.
I think we're good.
Probably needs to be disbanded. Or maybe the council did it by action of the action they took.
I recall the trails committee being created for council. The point is you disband the ad hoc and you want to make sure that everybody's on the same page, so it really comes down to communication even if there are no directives.
I believe, as City Attorney, that the committee will be coming back with recommendations for additional members that we will present to the mayor for his appointment to our committee.
I guess one other thing I'd like to have ironed out is, given that this is a committee by creation of a common council, not an ad hoc task force, committees usually have terms and they have bylaws and things like that. We have the mayoral ad hoc development review committee, which I've asked that be disbanded and those duties and responsibilities go to the Ford Franklin Committee. I know you can do it.
So we would need to.
If all you have is the ad hoc, the duties, informally, everybody's assuming that the duties have been expanded and the membership intention has been expanded. So if it's really one and the same, that's just changed like a chameleon, why would you dissolve its base? Because then you're dissolving the whole thing. I'll take a look at it.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you're well aware that the city has had litigation filed regarding terms of office for members of boards and commissions.
We
sound familiar? If required, I would be willing to work with our committee to put, if it's necessary, we would put together bylaws. I would prefer to go a simpler route and just change the name of the ad hoc board or committee to an additional change to the ad hoc committee. But that's not possible. I'd be willing to work to get the bylaws and term limits that we
would. Well, I think if you really want to have some teeth to this, because the scope of what I understand the Complete Streets and Connectivity Committee is something that's going to go on for the next 200 years, hopefully. You want to make it solid. Well, no, I mean, well, really,
that's true.
It's true. And that you would want to have a solid foundation and a base and bylaws and all that, because the things that you're going to be engaged in are really complex and may, if the council wants it, may require appointments to those positions versus the mayor naming it. I'm not taking that for granted.
And I would not be averse to stepping down as chair and having John take over as the chair. just saying.
Here's my phone. Call my wife. See how she feels about that.
All right.
Damn.
I was hoping John was going to leave to go watch the basketball game. That's what that is. But no, I'm in all seriousness. I don't mind serving as chair, but this is an area of John has much more expertise than I, and I'll be relying very heavily on him. And if he wanted to be chair, I would not be averse to that. But I don't mind staying as chair.
Well, given that you're talking about the trails and responsibility for the trails committee, you did some time ago said that you would be very, very interested in working with mayor on water.
Yes, that's true.
So
that is true.
So I may have something else for you. See you too confident.
Just on that follow up on that earlier point, or the further question on whether or not there might be a statutory time requirement for the Plan Commission to recommend to the Common Council on Comprehensive Master Plan Amendment. I didn't see anything in the statute. The council needs the recommendation before they can act to kind of get into that Plan Commission. And I didn't see a statutory provision akin to zoning ordinances where the council can act on its own. So it's the status of it, but there's no time requirement.
I don't think that's part of the trails report.
Direct the Plan Commission.
I guess the trails report, we're adjourned.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. Second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, I say have a motion carried.